Hey, good morning, everybody. My name is Tyler. I'm a pastor here at the church. If we haven't met, it is great to welcome you to New Harvest and to have you be a part of our fellowship here today. So on Thursday mornings, most every Thursday morning, I go to a group that meets at various coffee shops around town. It's a group of pastors, and it's kind of organized by Salem Leadership Foundation. And Rian Razubala, who goes to our church, helps organize that. And a bunch of pastors from, especially like Northeast Salem, like right around here, pastors from other churches, we get together and we open up the Bible and we talk about how the passage that we're looking at should be preached. Usually a pastor from different churches brings a text that they're about to teach on. And we debrief it and try and help them figure out what to say to their church. And so now and then what happens is that nobody brings a text, and Rian, who organizes the group, says, well, I don't preach, but we could talk about this passage if you want. And I said, well, Rian, maybe you should preach. What do you think about that? He's like, I don't know. I'll have to let you know. And about a month later, Rian said, well, maybe, if you have any dates. And I was like, how about August 18th? How does that sound? And Rian said yes. So that's kind of my introduction to our speaker today. Many of you know Rian and Hannah Razubala and their two sons have been a part of our church for 5 years now, almost 5 years, 5 years in September, but we're close enough, for 5 years. And Rian's role is at Salem Leadership Foundation, which is a nonprofit here in town that we as a church support on a monthly basis. They have been a blessing to us in helping us really start our after-school program and give a little bit more emphasis to our food bank as well. And they've really helped us be a beacon of light, hopefully, to this part of town. And so it's really great to be able to support Rian in his staff role at Salem Leadership Foundation. And I'm excited for him to share about that role and kind of the Bible passage and Bible verse that's really the inspiration behind a lot of his work. So, would you welcome Rian Razubala?
Thank you, Tyler. Let's get set up here. Well, it's good to be with you, church. I recognize a lot of faces, but I also realize that some of you might be like, who is this guy? We attend the 11 o'clock service, because as you saw in the picture, we have a 2.5-year-old and a 9-month-old. And so we come to the 11 o'clock so they can be a part of the awesome kid ministry here. And so some of you might not have met me before, so if you haven't, hello, I'm Rian Razubala. If you don't mind putting that picture back up, just wanted to talk about my family real quick. So on the left, my amazing wife, Hannah, she's sitting over here. And then we have Ezra is the 2.5-year-old, and Ezekiel is our 9-month-old. He was only like about a month or two in that picture, but he's about 9 months. You'll see them running around or yelling or doing something at the 11 o'clock service if you're around there. But they're awesome. That's my little family team. So super thankful to have them. And as Tyler said, yeah, about 5 years ago is when Hannah and I started coming to church here. No kids at that point. We had just recently gotten married, and we started living just out here, which was about 3.5 blocks away from the house that I grew up in, out in kind of the Hayesville, Jan Ray neighborhood, just north of here, about 6-minute drive. And we were looking for a church that was kind of out in this area. We had met at a different church, but since we were moving out here, we wanted to find a church that was kind of out in this area. So we started looking around, and I remember our first Sunday here, I think it was a July, we came, and there was no one here. And we're like, what's going on? And it was the day that you were all at Marion County Fair. So thankfully, the Lord brought us back, and we're happy to call New Harvest home. Have loved trying to get involved in a variety of ways. I used to serve on the worship team, and then we had kids, and it was a little bit harder to serve in that way. But Hannah's helped out with the toddler playgroup, We both help out with the after-school program, and just I share that just to say we've loved getting involved here at New Harvest and getting to know many of you. And if we haven't gotten to know you yet, we'd love to get to know you more and better, and I'm sure that will happen in the months and years to come as we continue to do life here at New Harvest Church. So like Tyler mentioned, I work at Salem Leadership Foundation, you all, through tithes and offerings and as the church, support Salem Leadership Foundation. So I picture this kind of sharing with you part sort of like a missionary update of, I think it's important that you all know what it is you're supporting financially, and what it is that we do and get to share about the work that I'm passionate about doing. And then the other half is also more preaching. I'll get to share sort of a key verse that we use at Salem Leadership Foundation. So a little bit about Salem Leadership Foundation, or SLF. Our mission is to engage both people of faith and people of goodwill to collaboratively transform Salem neighborhood by neighborhood. And our vision is that Salem Kaiser would become the healthiest community in Oregon, truly the city of shalom, the city of peace or well-being or completeness or wholeness. It's funny, the name Salem, you know, taken kind of from the name Jerusalem, or in Hebrew being shalom, and so we get to be, we believe that Salem can become truly a city of shalom. We were established about 27 years ago. At that time, there was a headline in the newspaper, not too far off from where we're at today, of, I think it said something like, youth gangs plague streets of Salem. And at that time, 27 years ago, it was like, what? Not Salem? What are you talking about? But it was true. And at that time, they brought everyone together to say, how can we help address... they put a task force together of how can we address these challenges here in Salem. And the organizer said, I want someone from every single sector. And after a couple of meetings, he said, hey, I thought we said someone from every single sector. And they're like, yeah, we do. We have people from education. We have the police force and city and the business sector. And he said, well, where are the white collars? Where are the clergy? Where are the pastors? And someone in the room said, well, why would we want them? Gangs are a social problem, not a spiritual problem. We don't need the churches. And he said, wrong, gangs are a social problem and a spiritual problem. And if we don't have the pastors here, we're never going to solve this issue. Pretty wise of that task force leader to say that. So people from that group went out, and at that time it wasn't easy to... as easy as it is today to gather sort of pastors. Someone might have said, well, let me invite my pastor, or things like that. And our executive director will always say that things weren't hostile with the faith community in Salem in those days, but they were chilly. They weren't on best terms or relationships. So they went out and asked some pastors to join. And some pastors responded, why would you want us? Gangs are a social problem, not a spiritual problem. So not the best response that we would hope. There was another group who said, well, it's about time that you invited us to help solve some of these issues. Oh, but you invited that church or that pastor. I don't think so. We're out. Unfortunate. Thankfully, there was a third group who said yes to the call. They joined the task force. You know, I wasn't around Salem Leadership Foundation at that time, but they were able to continue with the task force. I think the Salem police came up with a gang intervention task force that did a lot of work with gang intervention, helping solve the issues of that time. And so meanwhile, as that conversation's happening, another conversation is happening of we have these issues in Salem, but when they happen, we have no way to bring people together, the faith community together, to help solve some of these issues. And so, through that, Salem Leadership Foundation was born 27 years ago, again, to engage both people of faith and people of goodwill to do that community development work, to build peace and well-being here in Salem, and how can we work together? Because we believe that the faith community has lots to offer, and sometimes it just takes an intermediary like Salem Leadership Foundation to navigate the waters between maybe church and state, or church and schools, or the church and the nonprofit sector. And so we get to play that role of an intermediary bridging between people of faith and people of goodwill. And it's been a joy to do that. I've been working for Salem Leadership Foundation for about 3.5 years now. I serve as the McKay Area Lightning Rod. And so my role with Salem Leadership Foundation is to engage leaders and develop joint initiatives all in this Northeast Salem part of town. Part of my history is I went to McKay High School here in Northeast Salem. Like I said, we live 3.5 blocks from the house that I grew up in. And so this is my neighborhood. I love this place. I was a part of a different church, Celebration Foursquare, growing up, but had friends from school, from New Harvest, and actually in high school got to go on mission to Mexico trip with this youth group. And so, I share that because this is my neighborhood, and now I get to serve in helping churches and people of goodwill, nonprofits, all how can we collaborate and do work together. So at Salem Leadership Foundation, we have 3 main programs. We call them the Big Three. So those are CAN Centers, Community Partnership Teams, and Lightning Rods. And I'll talk about each of those. So our CAN Centers, CAN, it stands for Churches as Neighborhood Centers. So the idea of our CAN Centers is how do we help move congregations, churches from congregational cocoons to community centers. Churches have lots of resources to offer, a building, staff, an amazing volunteer force who love Jesus and are already called to serve, love God and love their neighbor. And so how can we help utilize that? Maybe it's not just open on Sundays and maybe Wednesday nights, but what can it look like to help churches truly love their neighborhood? A lot of the time what we find is that churches want to do that, but sometimes struggle to know how to do that effectively, and we get to help partner. If there's a church that wants to open up a community garden, for example, then we can help make the connection to Marion Pope Food Share and help make some introductions to some key people or other churches who have started a community garden to help with that. Or an after-school program. So 9 or 10 years ago, SLF came into partnership with New Harvest Church. We never tell the church what to do, or at least we try not to. We like to follow the lead of the church, how the church wants to lead, where church and church leadership feel that God is calling them to serve. And then we ask, great, how can we help do that? And so part of that was forging a relationship between New Harvest Church and Hallman Elementary School, the principal at that time. And I think the question was, again, I wasn't there at that time, but the question was, how can we serve Hallman Elementary? And at that time, they said an after-school program. And so that after-school program was developed. One of the partnerships that we have with churches is we'll do a 3-year funding mechanism. So in the first year, as a church is starting some sort of outreach program, SLF will fund 75% of that programming, and the church will do 25%. Year 2 is 50-50, and then year 3 is 25 and 75%, so that we can help the church become self-sustainable. And thankfully, the after-school program is still going on today. So that's been awesome. Second, we have community partnership teams, or CPTs, which is a monthly forum where citizens come together to share ideas and fund neighborhood projects. There are 5 of them all throughout the city. So there's a Northeast Salem one, a Kaiser one, a South Salem, a North Salem, and West Salem. Meredith Mooney, who many of you know from this church, has been the leader of the Kaiser Community Partnership Team for many years. She's now transitioning, but she's played a key role for the Kaiser one. I get to help with the Northeast Salem one. So those are some awesome meetings that we have. And then the last one is Lightning Rods, and that's my role. So we have a field staff member. The idea is that we'd have one in every high school feeder area, so the McKay area, South Salem, Sprague, West, North, and McNary, to basically be a neighborhood connector. How can I connect with anyone and everyone who loves East Salem and help see, how can we help serve? So an example that I like to share is at Chemeketa Community College, they had the idea with their new Ag Center. I don't know if you've seen it, kind of on 45th and Silverton-ish. They have a new Ag Center, and they're like, man, we would love to do a community market here. But at that time, they weren't able to figure out how to do it. And a couple years later, I, through my work, met the gal who runs the Salem Community Markets. And I asked her, I was like, hey, would you ever be interested in opening a new market? And she said, yeah, that would be great. And so I set up a meeting with the Chemeketa folks and her from the Salem Community Markets. And they met, and I didn't really say a word. I just kind of set the meeting, and they were able to meet. And then sure enough, now on Wednesdays from, I think, 3 to 7 p.m., you can go to Chemeketa Community College, and there's a community market. And so that's the type of work that I get to do. A lot of it, we don't run our own programs, but we just see what's happening out in the community and then see how we can help and make some connections or introductions or help volunteer ourselves to help bring those things forth for things that help bring God's peace and well-being here to Salem Kaiser. So some other things that I get to do, I get to connect with schools. And so we started about 2 years ago a McKay prayer time. So every Wednesday we meet to pray for the McKay community. Yana on the worship team, because she's also a McKay grad, she's come to that and some others. And we get to pray for the McKay community, which has been really awesome. As part of my work, I get to help with, I've gotten to help with the Hallman After School program, which has been an awesome way for me to tangibly serve this church and serve our neighbors, our school neighbors, our young neighbors across the street. And then with churches, obviously I get to engage with New Harvest as much as I can. We have the Preaching Peace cohort that Tyler talked about. I've also gotten to work a lot. One of our current CAN centers that are in that three-year partnership right now is Oak Park Church of God, led by Matt and Abby Ingalls. That's on Lancaster. And so we've gotten to work a lot with them. They're doing... one of the things that they're doing is a homeless ministry called the Wellness Table. So I've gotten to work a lot with them as they develop that. And then just engaging in any other ways. So that's a little bit about the work that I get to do. I want to shift now and talk a little bit about a guiding verse for us at Salem Leadership Foundation, which comes from Jeremiah 29, 4 through 7. So we'll look at the verse, we're going to read it, and then we'll look at some of the context, and then we'll unpack it a little bit and what that means for us today. So Jeremiah 29, 4 through 7, give you a little bit of time to flip to it in your Bibles if you want to read along, and I think it's also on the screen as well. So this is a letter from the prophet Jeremiah to the exiles that God carried from Jerusalem to Babylon. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there. Do not decrease. And then here's our key verse. Also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. This is the word of the Lord for us today. And we at Salem Leadership Foundation believe that God has called believers today to seek the peace of the city in which they live. Because if our cities and our neighborhoods prosper, we too will prosper. So let's talk a little bit about some context of this verse, and then we will, and then we'll sort of unpack it. So this verse, like I said, is a letter that the prophet Jeremiah is writing from. To the exiles that God has carried from Jerusalem to Babylon. And so the Israelites have been living in the land of Israel that was once Canaan for nearly 1,000 years at this point. Moses and Joshua have carried the Israelites out of the land of Egypt, out of the land of slavery, have brought them into the promised land, and they've been living here for about 1,000 years. You can think about the kings of Israel. We have Saul, and then David, and then Solomon. And after that, the kingdom split between the kingdom of Israel, the kingdom of Judah. Israel, at this point that the letter has been being written, was exiled about 150 years ago by the Assyrian Empire. And so now the kingdom of Judah, who this letter is written to, I think they have that in mind, that the Israelites, due to their disobedience to God, have been exiled. And now the kingdom of Judah are being exiled from their land by a different empire, the Babylonian Empire. And why? Why are they being exiled from their land? Well, because of disobedience to God, and mostly through idol worship and worshiping foreign and pagan gods. And it's not like the Israelites here, the Jews here, had that it's come as a surprise, or at least it shouldn't have. There have been prophets throughout the many years that they've been living in the land. And God has basically told them, if you follow my decrees and obey me and worship me and me alone, then you'll be blessed. However, if you choose to disobey me and follow other gods, there will be consequences. And so now it's in this context that they have now been carried away from Jerusalem. They're carried off into a foreign land of Babylon because of their disobedience to God. And I want us to kind of think about what this felt like for the Israelites. They had been living in this land for over 1,000 years. Their temple is in Jerusalem. Their means of worship, their families, their livelihood, their work, everything has been here. And not just for a short time. The U.S. has been around since 1776. This has been around for even longer, and they've lived on this land for even longer. And now they're being stripped away from their homes. And so you can imagine their anger, their frustration. Even though we know that God has told them that this was going to happen, we can still imagine that they're hurt, that they're frustrated. And I want to give sort of an equivalent of what this might be like for us today. You can think of a military power coming. So I'll just use Russia for an example. That this is the equivalent of Russia marching its army to Washington, D.C., defeating our military, capturing our president and other high-ranking officials, burning every monument, flag, and government building in D.C., and then taking the rest of the people there, here, back to Russia, giving them Russian names, indoctrinating a Russian way of life. And it's in this context that God says to the Israelites, seek the peace and the prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. And so this is not all, hunky-dory. these are not all good times and pleasant things. This is a very difficult situation. And yet, God tells them to seek the peace and the prosperity to the city in which I have carried you into exile. He doesn't say Babylon has carried you into exile. He says, I have carried you into exile. And while that's challenging, because it's because of their disobedience that God is bringing this discipline and consequence, I think it can also bring some hope to these people that that God has been faithful before, and God can be faithful again if we choose to trust him. So let's unpack this verse a little bit of Jeremiah 29:7. So you'll notice that Jeremiah 29:7 uses two words, seek the peace and the prosperity of the city to which I've carried you into exile. But in the original Hebrew, it's one word, seek the shalom of the city. So we have this verse here, and this would be, you can think of this as the way that you might translate it. Seek the shalom of the city in which I've carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it shaloms, or if it finds shalom, you too will find shalom. And I bring that up because I think shalom is most often translated as the word peace. But peace and shalom are a little bit different. And so peace, we often think of peace as the absence of conflict, or we can think of it as personal tranquility. But while peace is the absence of something, shalom is the presence of something better or something greater. And so if you're following along the notes, shalom means completeness or wholeness or well-being. Completeness, wholeness, or well-being. So you can think of it like a stone wall without any gaps or missing bricks. Shalom can also be in reference to complex moving parts, but that are all working together in unison. So I think of a symphony. Though there are individual instruments all playing and playing different parts, when they play together and when they play in unison, or you might say when they play in shalom, it creates something beautiful and creates beautiful music. This is could also be true of a church. The church is called the body of Christ, and we are all different parts of the body. And thank goodness that we're all not all the same. We have different roles that we play within the body of Christ. And when we are working in unison and working together, or working in shalom, it brings about something better. It brings about health, and we are able to be, like Steve was talking about, we are blessed to then be a blessing to others. And so the same is true for cities. Cities are complex places. You can think about all the different sectors. There's manufacturing or construction sector, the business sector, the nonprofit sector, the education sector, the healthcare sector, education, I'm not sure if I shared that one. There's all these different sectors that are a part of a city. And when those are working together, we can call that shalom is building. And when sometimes those things break down, it would be a breakdown of shalom or a loss of shalom or broken shalom. But like we said, we believe at Salem Leadership Foundation that Salem Kaiser will become the healthiest city in Oregon someday, truly the city of shalom. And that's kind of our vision for Salem. So as we look at this verse, God is basically saying to the Jews in exile, hey, I know that this sucks being taken away from your home. I know that you see Babylon as an enemy and that many of you feel like you would want to maybe destroy Babylon and get out of this place as soon as possible. But I'm telling you that I have decreed, later on in the verse it says, I have decreed that you will be here for 70 years. Don't listen to the other prophets who have said that it'll be for a short time. You're going to be here for 70 years, says the Lord. So hunker down, get comfortable. You're going to do normal life here of building houses and plant a garden. You know, the idea of planting a garden or building houses refers to some sort of longevity. You're going to be here for a while. And even marry, like this is going to be intergenerational. 70 years means that many of the exiles who've been taken here are not going to see the time 70 years from now when the people of Israel come back to their land. However, be here, increase in number, do not decrease, because I want you to work for the good of this city. Because if it prospers, if it has shalom, you too will have shalom. You know, a while back here at New Harvest, we looked at the story of Daniel. Tyler and some of the other pastors took us through the book of Daniel. And Daniel is written right in this context. He was taken from Jerusalem to Babylon from a young age, brought up in the Babylonian way of life. And I think the story of Daniel, we won't go in all of it today, but it gives a beautiful example of what it looks like to seek the shalom of the city or the empire in which you've carried into exile. He didn't fight against Babylon. There were times that he took his stand and said no, but he didn't fight against it. We actually see many times that he's working for the good of King Nebuchadnezzar, which is the enemy empire that's taken them into exile, but he's working for the good of the kings that work there. And we see the amazing blessing that God brings to the people, and glory to God because of his steadfastness in following the Lord and seeking the shalom of Babylon and the other empires that eventually take over. And so some of you might say, well, sure, God called the Jews at that time to seek the shalom of Babylon, but that was in the Old Testament. You know, we live in the New Testament. Jesus has come. I'm not an exile, you know. Why should we follow this verse? And so I want to look at 1 Peter 2 to show that we actually are exiles. 1 Peter 2 says, dear friends, I urge you, this is the Apostle Peter writing post-Jesus, I urge you as foreigners and exiles to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they might see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. So in your notes, you'll see, what are we? We are foreigners and exiles. That's how Peter describes believers. And if you think about it, I think it makes sense that when we become children of God, when we choose Jesus to be our King, our Lord, our Savior, we change our primary citizenship. It's no longer a citizenship to the world, but primarily we are citizens of the kingdom of heaven. We choose to follow King Jesus. So we have a different ruler, a different king. We have a different code of ethics. We have a different way of being than those who have not received the gift of salvation. And for that reason, Peter calls us foreigners and exiles. So you've heard the term in the world, but not of it. That's kind of the idea here. We are in this world, but we follow a different ruler. And that's a beautiful thing, that we get to be united to God, part of his kingdom. And part of being in his kingdom is to be kingdom people who act like in the same way that Jesus acted, to bring God's blessing, to bring God's kingdom, his reign, rule, and authority here on earth. That's what we see in the Lord's Prayer. May your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that's what each of us get to do. So you'll also hear the phrase, grow where you're planted. And I like that. And that's kind of our call today. God has planted each and every one of you, every one of us, where we are at right now, whether that's where you live or where you work or where you go to school. But wherever you are at, in what ways is God wanting to bring shalom into those areas? Our job is not to necessarily create shalom. Our job is to partner with God, who is already bringing good news into hard places, and partnering with him to help bring shalom. And that's how God likes to do it. He loves to partner with us. There are also plenty of other New Testament passages that speak to the same idea. So we see in Matthew 5:16 in the Sermon on the Mount, you're the light of the world. A city on the hill cannot be hidden. So let your light shine before others that they might see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. I think that Peter, in his verse when he was sharing, was just sharing these same words of Jesus earlier. We see in Matthew 5:9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. Blessed are the peacemakers, or blessed are the shalom makers. We see that you have heard, in Matthew 5:43, you have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. And of course, we have the greatest commandment, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. And so in essence, to be a shalom maker, to bring shalom to the city, is just to carry out what God has already invited us to do. To love God and to love our neighbor, to seek the well-being or to seek the goodness or flourishing of our city or the neighborhoods in which we live. So here's the vision that I want to share with you, church, is what would it look like for you to love your city, your neighborhood, and seek its peace, to seek its shalom? And what would that look like? One way to think about it is, because we all have different talents or abilities, is to think about, in what ways might you share your time or your treasure or your talent? And so time, how can you share your time to serve and to be generous as a person or follower of Jesus? You might think of treasure. You know, we believe as believers that all that we have, the resources that we have, is a gift from God. And in what way might God be asking you to use the ways that God has been generous to you and your family to bless others? whether that is a ministry that's doing work that you feel called to, or other ways. And then also talent. What gifts or skills has God uniquely given to you? And how can you use those skills to bless others? Maybe to bless another person in the church, to bless a neighbor. How can you use your time, your treasure, and your talent? So back to SLF. Again, we believe that God wants to bring his shalom to all of Salem-Keizer, to the whole world, but that can be daunting, and we live here most of us live in Salem-Keizer. I know there's some Dallas people or some Turner people, but whatever city you're in, that God wants to bring shalom to that city, to that neighborhood. And one way that we believe God wants to do this is through local congregations, like New Harvest, loving their neighborhood and seeking its peace. So, how are some practical ways that we can seek shalom in our neighborhood? Well, I just want to share three ideas with you. And the first is to look out your front door. What we say often at SLF is to look out your front door, look out your back door, and ask how can you serve. And so whether that's where you live, it might be getting to know your neighbors and getting to know not just their names, but also who they are as people. And when we see a need, can be like, you know, how can we serve? Through building relationships. First, it's who are you in close proximity with? You don't have to go all the way across town to do it. Who is God already placed in front of you? And then how can you build relationship with them? And then just how can you love and serve them? And sometimes the best way is just to ask. Secondly, how can we seek the shalom of our city is to pray. And so we saw in the verse, Jeremiah 29:7, it said to pray for the city. And so some ways that you can do that is one way that I like to pray is that verse from the Lord's Prayer. God, may your kingdom come and your will be done here in Salem-Keizer, in the McKay neighborhood, in this Hallman neighborhood. May your kingdom come and your will be done in this place as it is in heaven. You can partner and pray with others who share a similar burden, whether that's for a people group or for the neighborhood in general. And if you want to do this, feel free to ask me and I would love to help. That's my job as a lightning rod. And third is to get involved. So whether you're more of a leader or more of a servant, it doesn't matter. We are blessed so that we can bless others. The pathway is the same. Love your neighbor, build relationship over time, show up and stick with it, and great things happen. Two ways that you can get involved here at New Harvest. One is the after-school program. So on Tuesdays and Thursdays from about 3 to 5, the after-school program will be happening here. It's a great way that we can love our neighbors at Hallman Elementary and their parents. It's been awesome to see through the men's group that I've been able to be a part of here to see some of the youth who came to know the Lord through the after-school program and eventually coming to youth group and are now seeking to follow Jesus. And that's because there have been volunteers here who have helped out with the after-school program and who have loved these kids. Another way that you can help is through our food bank here. Just yesterday, I think there's about 23 volunteers who help provide food for over 100 families. It's a big volunteer effort. We do it twice a month. And so if you'd like to get involved in that way, you can talk to myself or one of the staff members. And if you're interested in the after-school program, there's a sign-up form on the back if you feel like God is tugging on your heart this way. One thing that I would suggest as we enter a time of prayer and a time of communion is to ask the Lord, God, is there a way that you are inviting me to help build shalom here in my city, in my neighborhood, on my block, on my street, at work? What are you inviting me to do? And give me the strength and the courage to be obedient to you and how you might be asking to do it. And if you need help, come ask me. I'd love to be able to talk through some of those things, or maybe there's others who have been trying to do a similar thing as you. One thing as we enter into a time of worship and communion is that this isn't something that we can do on our own. We need God's help. We need his Holy Spirit. The word says that apart from me, apart from God, we can do nothing. And so I don't want to do anything apart from God because it's going to be fruitless. You can't do anything apart on my own is how the word describes it. And so we need God to fill us up. And one way that we can be filled is through entering into a time of communion, drinking of the cup representing God's blood poured out for us, being filled by God, and then also the bread representing his body broken for us. It is through that, it's through the incarnation of God, God becoming flesh, and us taking part in that, that we're able to do anything at all. So I invite you all to stand, and we'll enter into communion. There's communion up here, and then there's a gluten-free option in the back. Thank you.